direct from Orlando. It's blindbargains.com coverage of NFB 2016. Brought to you by Hims. Go make it happen with Go Vision, the new transportable video magnifier with optical character recognition and the ability to enlarge and customize files, photos, or videos from your cell phone, tablet, or computer. Hims. Lifestyle innovation. Now, here's Chansey Fleet.
Hi, I'm here with Jarnil Chudge, and he is a design and user experience architect with Microsoft, and is here to do some user testing and research around a project called Cities Unlocked. So could you tell me a little bit about what Cities Unlocked is and how it got started?
So Cities Unlocked is quite a unique collaboration between Microsoft and a number of other organizations. It started out of the UK and involved a very close partnership between Microsoft and Guide Dogs UK. It was in many ways conceived by my good friend and colleague Amos Miller, who about 6-7 years ago became chairman of the Guide Dogs organization, and also as a Microsoft employee with a guide dog. It enabled him to then start thinking about how could help the organization deal with some of its transformational challenges. He introduced me to the CEO, Richard, and very soon after speaking with him, we came up with the idea of just running a workshop for a couple of days to really help them understand how technology could help them scale as an organization, deal with some of the challenges around bringing their volunteers and the different members of the community together. And when we ran that workshop, one of the key themes that came out of it, which to this day I think has been the mainstay behind the Cities Unlocked project or program, was how could technology help people with sight loss become more mobile and be more independent? And in many ways, those were the origins. We, in very close partnership, produced a vision video in 2012. And the idea of this vision video was to look into the 3-5-7 year time frame and look at how current and technologies on the horizon could potentially support people with sight loss to get out and about on their own terms in much the same way that sighted people do. And working within that time frame, it enabled us to start to explore the possibilities of the human experience. And as part of that video, we had three characters. Bill is the central character. He's blind. He's organizing a family day out for his young son, Connor, who's 11, full of beans and sighted. And also his elderly father-in-law, who's beginning to, through macular degeneration, suffer some issues with his sight and also start to deal with, I guess, some of the emotional anxieties that that go with that. And during the course of this 15-minute movie, we show Bill and the other guys out and about in London having a whale of a time. They're travelling on the train, dealing with the disruption because they have access to the information that they need and how to respond to that disruption. We show them enjoying themselves at the Natural History Museum and really immersing themselves into some of the exhibits. They have a picnic in the park. They go and do a little bit of shopping and eventually come home tired and exhausted, which is what a family day out should be all about. It was interesting because leading up to the family day out, we carried out a lot of research in close collaboration with Guide Dogs to really start to understand what are the potential areas where technology or emerging technologies could perhaps be brought to bear to make a significant difference to the experience. And we looked at touch-based interactions using smartphones or slates or tablets. We looked at using voice. But I think the unique aspect that we came up with the researchers was this notion of using 3D audio to describe the world around you relative to where you are. So, for example, you may be in a town centre that you know pretty well, or it could be a place that you're not very familiar with. And let's say the library is in front of you, train station to the right of you, the department store behind you, and a park to the left of you. And that's where you would have these points of interest called out. And they'd appear to come from outside of your head because you'd be using a headset that doesn't block your ears, for example, to receive this information.
When you've done tests in the UK, have you been using bone conduction headphones?
We've trialed a number of different types of technologies. We've looked at bone conduction. We've looked at some over-the-ear headsets as well to kind of understand the quality of audio differences between them. At this stage, it's very much a research project. It's really helping us understand how technology could enable and fulfill those experiences in the most appropriate way.
So I came to the session yesterday to participate in the research, had a really great time. So I noticed that you were testing the ability of folks to perceive where 3D audio was coming from on a clock face. During that research process, you know, either early or yesterday, what kind of things did you discover about users? Was there anything that surprised you? What kind of feedback are you getting?
So this was a wonderful opportunity at the convention here for us to engage with an audience that we're not very familiar with, because most of the work to date has been carried out of the UK. And we've had the opportunity to work very closely with a number of people with sight loss, but obviously from a cultural, personality, perception point of view, this gave us a wonderful opportunity to learn from the people that we were meeting with yesterday.
What do you notice that's different, actually, between those cultures?
Do you know what? At heart, I think people want to do the same things, mm-hmm. irrespective of where they are. They want to be able to go out and explore and discover and learn what's out there. They want to enjoy being out and about with family and friends. Mm-hmm. So those things are absolutely common everywhere we've been and everywhere we've spoken to people.
So what surprised you about the trials yesterday?
What we were doing yesterday was really conveying a sense to people of what this 3D audio experience is like. And the application, this little demo application that we built, enabled us to introduce that to people. And it was interesting because we were in an environment indoors. It was quiet. And obviously, a lot of the experiences that people have are outdoors. But nonetheless, it enabled us to convey how 3D audio would work. And we were essentially, through this little demo, throwing sounds around the person and in random order and asking them to approximately locate where the sound was coming from. And I think what we noticed yesterday was that after a few attempts, people's ability to be able to sort of understand and then locate that sound really sped up very, very quickly. I think it took a first few attempts just to kind of get your head around this notion of 3D audio, because it is quite different to, for example, stereo music. And because the sound appears to come from outside of your head, it does take a little bit of getting used to. But I think once people got that, they adapted to it very quickly.
I had some trouble perceiving the difference between something that was meant to be straight in front of me and something that was meant to be behind me. Is that a common thing, or...?
That is actually a common challenge in this space. And it's interesting because working in this way, getting feedback from people and sharing some of the ideas that we're working on enables us to really understand the challenges that people have, then also begin to explore, I guess, potential design experiences that we can conceive that will help people understand and appreciate where a particular sound may be coming from. An example could be priming. So, for example, if we go clockwise, then I think it's natural for us to then learn that the sounds are going to come in a particular sequence. And then through that sequence, our ability to be able to anticipate where the next piece of information we hear could potentially help that.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, I noticed you had two different sequences. You had the sequence that was a voice saying a number of meters to a destination on that clock face. And then the second thing that you had was very different. It was this footstep sound effect that you were supposed to orient yourself toward. And then when you oriented correctly, you'd get this bell.
Yeah.
And that was totally a really interactive experience. And to me, it felt very precise and intuitive. And I loved having that confirmation that I was right, which is something that the first sequence didn't have. Did you find that people were responding really well and orienting really quickly to those sound cues?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think the work that we've done to understand that that capability has just, I think, been reflected in the feedback that you've just provided. Essentially, it's designed to give a person confidence that they're heading in the right direction. And we have these clippity-clop sounds, such that if you start to veer off maybe to the left or to the right, then the sound's going to get a little bit louder on one side to nudge you back into the generally right direction you're heading in. And then that little bell sound or that little pinging sound is confirmation that you're generally heading in the right direction. Because I think the important thing to note is that first and foremost, your cane or your guide dog are your primary mobility aids. We see this research that we're working on and some of the technology behind it as being complementary to the cane and to the guide dog. It gives you the opportunity to perhaps enrich your experience in new and innovative ways.
Do you think that there's a difference in the way that we process vocal sound and non-vocal sound? Because those two sequences felt very different to me. The first one felt a lot more effortful. Have you guys done some thinking or some work around kind of how linguistic content in a sound influences reaction time?
That's a fantastic question. And I guess some of the research that we're doing is designed to throw insight into exactly those sorts of challenges. Do, for example, having qualitatively different sounds or different audio sequences perhaps help us relate and respond to the environment and understand our relationship to it, or maybe where we are and what's around us in different ways? And this is where we're learning, and we still have lots to learn.
I have one more question. Have you, in this journey, have you worked with haptics at all? Is that something that you've considered? What made you guys, at least for now, focus in on sound?
What made us, well, I guess there are a number of sort of reasons in many ways behind that. When we were doing the original research for the Family Day Out video, we spent a lot of time walking in and around historic parts of London with a tour guide, working very closely with a number of people with sight loss, enabling us to really understand right at the point of the experience what a person was thinking, what they were feeling, what they were anticipating, what they were hoping for. And when we were walking through this area, we were aware of a fountain in the distance, and we could hear it, but we couldn't see it. And as we were making our way through this part of town, sometimes a fountain would be ahead of us, sometimes it would be to the right of us, sometimes to the left of us. And it's only when we were reflecting on this afterwards, we recognized that that fountain was actually acting as a landmark, as an audio beacon, if you will, like an audio lighthouse, that enabled us to understand by virtue of having it, hearing it from different points, where we were in relation to it. And that's where, in many ways, we explored a little bit further this notion of using sound to help you relate to the environment that you're in, what's around you. And also the 3D part of it, the projection of it to come from outside of your head is really important as well, because when we're having a conversation, we're able to localize a person's voice. We're able to do so while still being aware of what else is going on around us. So it's in many ways a very natural human cognitive behavior. And that was some of the thinking that went behind exploring this in more detail.
What are some ways that you think that this type of technology could become universal, could become something that's appealing to people who don't necessarily have disabilities? Do you see a future in universal design for this technology?
I think universal design has been one of our key motivators right from the very outset. An example being visiting a place that you're not familiar with at all as a tourist, or you may not speak the language, the first thing that we generally tend to do when we go to a place like that is we take our smartphone out, we open up the mapping application, and we try and get a location bearing of where we are, and then we start walking. We're hoping we're walking in the right direction, and we usually have our phone in our hand, arm outstretched. And what we're doing there is actually we're paying extreme attention to the technology and not really to what's around us.
Yes.
The technology has taken over.
Yes.
And not only that, it's actually making us feel very anxious and very vulnerable.
Yeah, and kind of torn between the real environment and the informational environment. It's not a great fit.
Yes. So imagine then not having to do that. Your phone may be in your pocket because you're using different means, voice or audio or gesture, or whatever it may be, to draw on the information. You're wearing a headset in a way that so many people do. So you're not standing out in a particular way.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just having this information relayed to you based on where you are. And it's a very natural, a lot less stressful experience.
Excellent. So if folks want to learn more about Cities Unlocked, or perhaps find another opportunity to provide feedback, where can they go online?
So at the moment, the work that we've been doing in very close collaboration with our partners is accessible through citiesunlocked.org. And please do go and visit and learn a little bit more about what we've been up to.
Okay, will do. Thank you so much for your time.
No, my pleasure.
Exclusive audio coverage, visit blindbargains.com or download the Blind Bargains app for your iOS or Android device. Blind Bargains audio coverage is presented by the AT Guys online at atguys.com.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2016.